You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. I'm sort of sad, Tone. For the first time in more than a week, we have no tournament games tonight.
Tony Kornheiser, what do you mean? High Point and Arkansas State meeting the CBI. What does the CBI stand for?
How could I forget?
College Basketball Index? Is it something like that?
Invitational, maybe?
Right?
College Basketball Invitational?
Invitational?
Maybe.
They didn't invite Binghamton. I mean, if you're going to have a true college invitational, then invite Binghamton.
Binghamton.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the NBA investigates gambling. Paige Bueckers leads UConn into the Sweet 16. And the NFL makes moves on kickoffs and Christmas. But we begin today with Shohei Ohtani categorically denying he has ever bet on sports or bet with a bookie. Ohtani accused his former friend and interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara, of stealing his money in the amount of $4.5 million to cover Mizuhara's own gambling debts with an illegal bookmaker. Wilbon, what questions do you still have?
Tony, as I told you yesterday, you know, I'm really reticent on this story, intentionally so, because I don't know Shohei Ohtani. I mean, there are a lot of athletes who've lost a lot of money in their lives, and I don't know whether it was necessarily betting, but I know some of them. And I don't know what the questions are in their lives. And I've followed all their lives, some of them since high school. I don't know Ohtani. Nothing about him, really, other than he's a great baseball player in a way that hardly anybody's, and nobody's ever been. So I hear the categorical denials, and I'm like, okay. Like, how am I supposed to question that? What is it that I'm supposed to doubt? What is it that I'm supposed to be cynical about? I don't have those, because I don't have any sense of Ohtani and what he is. Tony, some things strike me here, and a couple are people will say, well, wait a minute. How do people close to athletes of this magnitude, how do they get access to their money? And you and I both know people who have had the magnitude of Ohtani, maybe not this much money, but people had access. And in real time, years and decades ago, you and I would go, oh, my God, how did this happen? How did they get access? They do get access because athletes have to trust people they figure are more sophisticated and savvy than they are. And they're often insecure and they are young and they are not sophisticated. And they turn these things over to people, whether it's friend or advisor or whatever. And so, Tony, knowing that as a backdrop in general, I don't know what to think about Ohtani. I still don't. And I don't know that I will if he holds 10 more press conferences in 10 days.
Yeah, so I have this one question. Is Ohtani telling the truth? I want to believe that he's telling the truth. I want to believe that he is the victim of a sting here. I want to believe that. But I wanted to believe that Alex Rodriguez did not take PEDs when he said to the whole country, I never had these things. And I wanted to believe that Ryan Braun did not take PEDs. Right? And I wanted to believe that Nick Saban, when he told me to my face categorically, he was not leaving the Miami Dolphins for Alabama. But in each one of those cases, I found out that that was not to be the case.
Yeah,
maybe this time it is the case. Maybe Ohtani is telling the complete truth. I agree with you that it hinges on access to bank accounts. And you would automatically say, well, it's crazy. But I think it's credible, as you think it's credible, that Ohtani had this one trusted friend and interpreter who was basically with him 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And so he gave him this because he was the gatekeeper. So I do find that credible. And that's why I sort of hope. And this gave Ipe opportunity and motive because he owed $4.5 million.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I'm not certain at this point. And I'll go back to something I've said on this show many times, that all of these sports leagues and this network have gotten into partnerships with gambling concerns.
We're going there.
And
it grays
the line between what's right and what's wrong to me. It does.
Yeah, we're going
to
double down on that with this next story. But let me say real quickly, if we're going to talk about people who looked into the camera and lied and just became the biggest, one of the biggest liars in history, let's not forget Lance Armstrong. Let's not have a list without him. We have a separate betting story in basketball. The NBA is reportedly investigating Raptors center Jonte Porter over betting irregularities. On January 26th and March 20, prop bets involving the under on Porter's own stats were the biggest money winners of the night on DraftKings. In both these games, Porter left play after just minutes, Tone, to double down. How does this sound to you?
Well, it sounds like there is a lot of circumstantial evidence here. As you say, there are these two games. He gets out of one by saying he has an illness. He gets out of another by saying he's injured. He's on the court, so his statistics matter, and they are under the bets that you can make. And then we hear that it's reported that a lot of people went out there and really stepped on these bets, okay, made a lot of money on Mr. Porter for those two nights. And so to me, it suggests the possibility that either Porter was working with gamblers or on his own or both, because it feels suspicious to me. Look, I don't know him the way you don't know Otani. He's a two-way contract guy. He's making $450,000 a year. And he's sitting in a locker room with a lot of people making 20 and 30 times as much. Maybe that influences him. And unlike Shohei Otani, he doesn't have this sort of bright light of recognition and stardom. So maybe what he says might be doubted a little bit. I don't know. That's what it sounds like.
I'm glad you went through the details of this. I'm glad you did what you did. You covered very well, because I'm going to go in a different direction. We're going to have one of these stories every week. Every week. Because this is what the leagues and the networks, including this one, have wrought. They have gotten into bed with gambling interests. They have partnered. They have decided to make hundreds of millions of dollars, and it'll, I'm sure, total billions in the future, with gamblers, with sports gambling. They decided this, Tony. And so I am not upset at any of these guys. I understand that all the players
really?
In these sessions before a season starts. No.
If
no,
this player essentially threw the game, you're not upset?
Tony, I'm more upset with the people above him who encourage it. They don't just encourage it. They don't just tolerate it. They say, hey, what did Rudy Gobert do? What did he do?
Let's deal with
the reality of this.
The people in charge
of these leagues and networks have said,
Mike,
bring it to us.
Let's just go to the side for a second on this. The NBA has a problem, I believe, with the possibility of fixing games. They had a referee in recent years who was accused of fixing games. The Rudy Gobert incident that you mentioned, he was saying that another referee was fixing calls in order to make money. And now they have a player who may have tilted the game in a way away from the honesty and integrity of the game. Mike, yesterday I sat here and I said this could be Rob Manfred's worst professional day, because he was looking at maybe a Pete Rose thing with Shohei Ohtani. I'll just change names to Adam Silver. What if he finds out that he's got players out there who are altering the game to fit their needs and not the game?
Tony, I don't disagree with the words you said. I'm just saying the biggest problem ain't the players. Don't tell me the face of this problem, which could be a very serious one, you and I agree, is some dude named Jonte, who, if in uniform, you and I couldn't identify if he walked in the studio. Don't tell me he's the biggest problem. The leagues and the networks who've agreed to be in bed with gambling, they're the biggest problem.
Yeah.
And we're going to have stories like this all the time.
I don't think Jonte Porter is going to be playing for the rest of the year. I don't. If they're investigating this, I don't think he'll be out there again. Let's move to the women's tournament now. Iowa, USC, UCLA, and UConn all advanced to the Sweet 16 last night. After the UConn game, in which Paige Beckers had 32 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, and 4 steals, her coach Gino Auriemma said, quote, "We have the best player in America," unquote. Wilbon, how do you feel about that comment? And are you giving UConn a 3 seed a real shot to win this?
Oh, UConn has to have a real shot to win this. How many is Geno won? Like 11? Yes, they have a real shot to 11. Win this every time 11. They tee it up. Yes.
Yeah.
Tony, he's supposed to say that. And you and I know Geno Auriemma for a long, 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 long time. And you know he's going to say that. And first of all, he can feel it. He can mean it. Because Paige Beckers is that good, okay? Before her injuries, she's that good. But also, Geno majors in getting under other people's skin, particularly his opponent. He liked to try to do it with Pat Summitt, who was very much his peer and equal. He would do it with anybody. And so, yes, he's looking straight west to Iowa City as he says these words. He knows what he's doing. Am I paying Geno any attention? Yeah. Am I? No. Would I rather have Paige Beckers at this point of the year in the tournament than Caitlin Clark? I don't know. It's a toss-up to me. Toss the coin. They're both great players, and they're not alone. There are other great players in this tournament. So game on. I love this. Game on.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with any of that. Paige Beckers was the player of the year when she was a freshman, and she had catastrophic injuries. She's a great player. Is she better than Caitlin Clark? No, I'm not going to say that. Is she on that level? Yeah, I mean, you can see that. Can they win? Sure. As you said, they got 11 of them. They can win. What I think the whole thing hinges on, Mike, is unlike in the men's regionals, the women in some of these really good programs play at home for the first two games.
Yeah, 2 rounds.
So we're talking about UConn, Iowa, USC, UCLA, South Carolina, LSU. They're all played at home for 2 games. Iowa almost lost a game at home last night. LSU has been tested twice. Yeah. So
UCLA
when you get out, when you got to go to Albany, you got to go to Portland, in unfamiliar arenas and unfamiliar baskets and unfamiliar courts, that's going to change things. That's going to change things. So it becomes
the tournament doesn't
a lot
start till
more
next
up
week.
In the air.
The women's tournament starts next week. That to me, Tony,
agreed.
When everybody's away from their home court, that's when it starts.
That's
then
right.
We can say game on.
I'm not
for
sure
that
it's
tournament.
Fair. I'm not sure it's fair. You should be in your home court for the first two rounds. I'm not sure that's fair. Let's take a break. But coming up, would you take UConn or the field to win the men's side of the tournament?
And the Celtics, they blew a 30-point lead unthinkably, but is it possible the Suns took the worst loss of the night? Toss-up is next.
I mean, you know, why are they playing at home? Why
well,
are
Tony,
the
you have to fill the arenas. Because you can't fill neutral sites yet. The women's tournament is not where the men's tournament is in terms of attendance popularity. UCLA had a half full
building
last
night. That's an enormous advantage.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time to snatch the W out of Wilbon and toss up. What's first?
Toss up with the Sweet 16 set. Which school is more likely to win the men's tournament, UConn or the field?
I'm a field guy. Always take the field, Mike. Even when Tiger was great, I would take the field if it was offered. I would take the field against Max Verstappen right now. But this time I'm going UConn. They won it last year. They're not nervous. They're better this year. Their first two games, they won by 56 combined points. And, Mike, they didn't even shoot well. They shot 12 for 46 from three. So even though they stacked the regional to get UConn out, I'll go UConn.
Tony, I watched UConn twice in person, as you know. UConn looks great. UConn looks like the best team to me. With apologies to Purdue, which has looked really good. Houston had to, you know, sort of eke out a game. The one seeds have advanced, the two seeds have advanced. So, I think UConn is the best of them. I do. But I'm taking the field as well. Look, I picked Illinois to win this tournament. And there's nothing
you did.
With the way Illinois has played and seeming to me to have the single best player in the tournament. And I know Purdue's great player is 7-4 and all that he brings to the table. I get that. I'll stay with my pick of Illinois. And that means automatically, Tony, I'm going to stay with the field.
Gotta beat
I'll
UConn.
Take the field as
That's
well.
Right.
Even though we agree, I think we both agree UConn looks like the best team so far.
I think so. What's next?
Toss up, which team had the worst loss last night? The Celtics or the Suns?
It's Boston. They blew a 30-point lead. They lost to Atlanta without Trae Young. In the past 25 years in the NBA, Mike, teams with 30 or more in the lead, they're 2,606-5. It's the worst loss. It's, you know, it doesn't mean anything. Phoenix's loss is impactful because it drops them into the play-in game, and it's embarrassing because they lost to the Spurs without Wembanyama, and the Spurs stink with Wembanyama, but I think Boston's is the worst loss.
No, because Boston doesn't matter. They weren't paying attention. Neither team was paying attention. Boston wasn't paying attention, but Boston had just won 9 straight. Boston doesn't have to pay attention. They have an impossibly large lead on the second-place team and the rest of the field in their division and in the conference. It doesn't matter. The Suns' loss matters. The Suns either, two things, Tony, they weren't paying attention, which is what Bradley Beal essentially said afterward, or they're not very good. Either way, they're not a playoff team for real. They're a play-in team, and they're going to struggle in that. And it's amazing because there were people, including in Vegas, that thought the Suns at the beginning of the season could win the championship. You can't lose to San Antonio without Wembanyama, as you said. The Suns' loss highlights all the flaws they have. They're in trouble. The Celtics are not.
That's it. Let's take one last break. Still to come, the NFL will schedule 2 games on a Christmas, even though it falls on a Wednesday.
And LeBron will miss tonight's game in Milwaukee. Concerned? Terrence Shannon Jr. is the best player in the tournament,
in the
and that's
NFL.
Why Illinois can win.
Yeah. Somebody in the NFL said, why should the NBA have sole rights to Christmas? We're going to take Christmas. We're going to step on their necks and outrace them by $5 billion. And they're doing it.
This is not breaking news. They just had Christmas Day.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Happy time, people. Happy 81st birthday, Bob Woodward. We realize Woodward has nothing to do with sports, except for an occasional round of golf we've played together. But he is our friend and was our colleague at the Washington Post. In light of Kim Mulkey's attack on the press, we submit Woodward's name. He and Carl Bernstein did probably the most important investigative story ever. And then they wrote All the President's Men, which became a landmark movie. Woodward stuck to investigative journalism his entire career. He wrote 15 different nonfiction books that were number one national bestsellers. How many have you written? And to this day, he's considered the best reporter in the world. So happy birthday, Bob.
Here's how Bob Woodward impacted something to do with sports. He impacted us. So he impacted this show because he is our idol. There we go. Yeah. Bob Woodward is our idol. Yes, we are proud, proud to have known Bob Woodward. And for those of you too young to have any idea, go to Google and figure it out. Look up Bob Woodward.
Happy anniversary, Brad Stevens. On this day 13 years ago, the then 34-year-old coach at Butler guided his team to an overtime win over Florida to advance to the Final Four for the second consecutive year. Butler played in two straight NCAA finals. Now as the chief executive of the Celtics, Stevens is watching his team run away with the Eastern Conference. The Celtics are 10.5 games clear of second place Milwaukee, and they have the best record in the NBA by 6 games over Denver. Since February 1st, the Celtics are 20-4. As Celtics coach, Stevens made the playoffs 7 times in 8 seasons. Now he's a strong candidate for executive of the year after bringing in Jrue Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis.
Brad has been unarguably great at every level, at everything he does. It's interesting now, Tony, because I would say there's a little bit of pressure on the Celtics to get this done, to finish it, because they got a couple of $300 million guys, right? Plus a glittering roster.
Yeah,
they've done
agreed.
A great job scouting and putting together.
Agreed.
And now it's time to win. They're going to need to win.
Totally agree. Happy trails to the traditional NFL kickoff. Wilbon, the exhilarating play we love so much is gone. NFL owners voted today to scrap it in favor of the XFL model. The kicker will be alone on his half of the field at the 35. Most everybody else will be 5 yards apart at the receiving team's 40. As many as 2 returners can be deployed deep. The NFL wants the kick to be returned, so if it goes into the end zone, the receiving team will start at its 30. Everyone says it will be a safer play because it eliminates violent collisions. In a best-case scenario, maybe a lateral or a reverse will make it exciting, but I'm going to miss the old kickoff like I miss Sears and Blockbuster, like old people miss things.
Yeah, Tony, I think I enjoyed that play more than most people, and Bears fans enjoyed it more than fans of most teams because we had a couple of guys, if you're old enough, Gale Sayers, Devin Hester. I'll take that list.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you miss Blockbuster? Whatever
yes,
happened to
I
renting
do.
Movies and sticking them in that box? There's no box anymore.
No, there's
people
not.
Like you who
streaming.
Cut the cord and you
streaming.
Stream and you ruin
yes.
it for the rest of us. Let's go
streaming,
to the big finish.
Baby.
Your
Let's
Bears and the Texans will face each other in the preseason opening Hall of Fame game on August 1st. You excited?
No. I mean, Caleb Williams will play maybe as much as a quarter, probably more so like a series or two. How am I excited? Am I supposed to get over that? The NFL will schedule 2 Christmas Day games this year, even though Christmas is on a Wednesday. Okay by you?
The NFL sat there and said, why should the NBA be the sole proprietor of Christmas Day? Why don't we do it too? They did it last year because it was a Sunday or a Monday. Now they're just going all out. They're just doing it. Panthers play the Bruins at the Panthers tonight. Is that significant?
I wouldn't call it significant, but I'm curious because 7 teams have like 97 or 98 points and they're going forward. We're in a stretch run. It's kind of cool. Warriors Heat tonight. You intrigued?
No, but we're going to talk about the Warriors tomorrow. We're going to talk about the Lakers
you know
tomorrow.
It.
That's what
you
we
know
do.
It.
Last one.
You know
LeBron
it.
Is out for tonight's game in Milwaukee due to left ankle soreness. Are you disappointed?
Not really, Tony. The Lakers are fine. They're going to finish in 9th. The Warriors, to go back to the last question, the Warriors are in some trouble, Tone. They need to win
yeah.
this game. Houston is breathing down their necks, and the Warriors can
I
be
agree,
out
Mike.
To play in.
But if they win 2 games in a row, we'll be delusional, say they can win
yes.
the championship.
Yes.
We're out of
yes,
time.
We'll
try to do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. We'll say you can get to the finals, not win. Here's SportsCenter.
But that's tomorrow's question. They won. Can they reach the finals?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.